Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back on Winfrey and also Carla, who is involved with Win in bringing in the raw material. And today we're going to talk about a group of interdimensional, guidance counselors for us humans going through this this upcoming shift, or the shift we're actually currently in. And so it'll be very interesting to talk to Wynn and Carla today about what this group of advisors has to say about what we're doing here with the human experiment and where we're at. I think Carla's on the line with me now. Hi, Carla. Where are you calling in from?
Hi there. I'm calling in from my home in Anchorage, Kentucky, which is just a little exurb of Louisville, Kentucky. And I wish you pre-Derby happiness from us. We're full of daffodils and tulips here. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay. And Wynn should be joining us in a minute.
Hi, Susan. I'm here.
Hey. Great, Wynn. I'm glad you're on. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Boulder City, Nevada.
Okay. Well, everybody's online. Well, I'd like to have Wynn introduce the raw material, what it is, where it comes from, how he got interested in it, and what the association is with other, other information that we're getting from interdimensional sources.
Okay. Well, let me introduce this by saying that when you get information from the other side or from channeling or from phenomena like this, it always needs to be discerned very carefully because there's both negative sources and positive sources that speak through people, and the negative tends to mimic the positive, so they're very tricky. So when we talk about this, I would like to ask that everyone puts their scrutiny on and don't believe anything we say, but consider the possibility, and if it intrigues you, then pursue it further, read about more about it, because for many people, this material creates an internal resonance. It creates aha experiences. It creates, like, this is what I've always been looking for. So this group, they explain themselves to be a social memory complex or a group soul. And they explain, you notice I say they explain because I don't want to say this is true because we can't validate it. So this is something each person, if it intrigues them, they have to take the time to validate it themselves, mm-hmm. At least see if it has intuitive resonance. But this group soul is made of millions and millions of individual souls that graduated this realm, that got off the wheel of karma, the wheel of reincarnation. And apparently, it takes many, many lifetimes, even 1,000 lifetimes, for that to occur. And all of us that are listening are still in the wheel of reincarnation. And the group soul that graduated explains that they act as a helper and guide for people who are still here, and they do various connections and interventions in this realm. And one of the people who has been, in recent times, one of the principal, maybe the only one, I don't know, but certainly one of the principal mouthpieces for this group soul is Carla Rucker. And she went through an experience in 19... Oops. Oh, my God. That's me in a parking lot. She went through an experience. She was doing channeling experiments with her partner, Don Elkins. And in 1981, suddenly a voice came through her. She went into trance. She didn't know what she was saying, and it identified itself as this group soul. And they said they named themselves Ra, and they had done interventions in the past, And her channeling partner was a very bright guy, very into studying metaphysical things. He was a PhD. He was a professor. And for 3 years, he would ask some of the most profound questions about who they were, what they've done, et cetera, et cetera. And Carla would go into a trance and answer these questions. And that particular body of information became known as the raw material. And there's 5 books that are available on Amazon that the transcriptions are all available. And it's very, very deep. In fact, it's so deep, a lot of people don't understand it. And even myself or even Carla and I have been doing this in these interpretive sessions recently, and we're like translating it. And we read a paragraph, and I don't know if you've read it, Susan, but if you read it with the proper attention, it takes one paragraph can be a day's work of contemplation. It has so many levels of meaning. But if we have it right, this group's soul has been one of those interdimensional sources that's very positively oriented and in epochs of history has oftentimes in their interventions be interpreted as God. And so this is what they're doing through Carla is they're explaining from their perspective this huge shift that our planet is in the midst of that is going to affect every person on this planet. And, of course, in 1981, when this all started, it wasn't so obvious, this transformation.
Mm-hmm.
But many, 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 many of the things that they have talked about have been coming about in present time. And many people are starting to pay attention to what they're saying and how it works. Carla, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you've covered that pretty well. I think one thing that you didn't say was that I had studied how to make sessions better for some time. I started channeling in 74, and this happened in 81. So there have been some years there where I was thinking, now, why did this session seem to be better than the other one? I'm a librarian, so I'm not a natural channel. I studied it and learned how to do it and been researching it ever since, trying to make it better. And I discovered several things that would make it better. One thing was to challenge the entity, challenge whatever you got on the horn. Just like instead of picking up the phone and talking to anybody that was on the other end, you know, somebody's kid, you know, a salesman, whatever, you'd want to know who you were talking to. So I would always challenge the entity in the name of what I consider to be the highest and best I knew of. So I'm a Christian, and I would challenge in the name of Jesus Christ and his unconditional love. And a lot of contacts that I got through the years would simply go away when I did that challenge. So I know that there was there was something really working here. And I was able to challenge the raw group the first time it came through before I accepted the contact. And then I went into trance after I accepted the contact, and it was the only trance I ever did. I never knew what I was doing, and I wasn't very good at it in that my body took it very hard. I lost 2 or 3 pounds every time I did a session, and this went on for 106 sessions, so I was really struggling during these 3 years. I was down to between 80 and 85 pounds and just eating my head off and hoping that I didn't go below 80. So, you know, there was something obviously happening here. And Don had been researching since 55. And so in 81, when this happened, he had 25 years in. And I'd never seen him excited before. And when I woke up from this first contact, he was excited. And he said, this is what I've been waiting for. He said, this is something that's worth everything. He said, we're going to make a book of this. And he was always excited, looking forward to this conversation with Rosa Ra. And because he was a scientist, he asked questions in a scientific manner. And because he had been researching for 25 years in the paranormal, he knew what he wanted to know. He knew the questions to ask. His mind worked like a puzzle maker, and he was always saying, I'm putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So he was always asking about the pieces of the puzzle. So I don't think I've ever seen anything like the conversation between Elkins and those of Ra. So I think it's worth looking at for anybody that is attempting to figure out what we're doing, why are we here, what's next, what's coming up, and what's the deal, you know. Where are we in the grand scheme of things? You know, where's a map that says you are here? You know, and the Ra Group gave us one. It's a very interesting one, and it's internally consistent. It's the only internally consistent metaphysic I've ever read. I read a lot of philosophy in college, and this is the only absolutely airtight metaphysic I've ever read.
Now, when you had said before when you were on the air that you believed that the raw source was what came through Edgar Cayce, is that correct?
Well, you know, I wrote the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce with David Wilcock, and
right.
That's when I first learned about this raw group.
Right.
And David was giving a lot of mention of the Ra group in his work, and there was the contention that it was the Ra group that was coming through Edgar Cayce. Remember, the Ra group, when you hear a voice, it's not one entity, it's a conglomerate. You can only imagine they're in another timeline, and they are, the idea is they're coming together in another timeline as a group, and they're energies, they're not people. And they're forming the words very carefully and slowly, and then putting them through Carla in a trance. So if they are who they say they are, and if that's what's going on, this is a body of information that goes over many, many thousands or tens of thousands of years from a perspective that would be totally inaccessible to a human without having an intelligence coming from that, how can I say it, having observed the human condition for that period of time.
What's different is that they both came through in trances, which many channeling is not coming through in trances.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point that
apparently,
out. That may be
the reason,
how they communicate.
The reason it comes through in a trance
mm-hmm.
is, from my understanding of the universe, there's a bunch of overlaying holograms or timelines that go back to
mm-hmm.
source. And the closer you get to source, the higher, the more time operates in a different way. So when you reach a very high source, the reason you go into trance, in my opinion, from my observation of this, is because you have to jump through all the timelines where you still have garbage. And so you go into trance as a way of jumping that. And in fact, if anyone studies Carla's work, they'll find out that Carla would actually get very negatively attacked during that period of doing the raw material. And I believe the reason for that is she was jumping through all these timelines and going into trance. But in the middle stages, there were negative sources in other timelines that didn't want her to do it. And they were doing the best to get her offline, scare her, so she wouldn't do it. And
was that the weight loss?
No, that was the odd things that would happen to me, like they would create the illusion that I had a clear road. I would step out into the road, and a car would be whizzing by at speed.
Oh, my goodness.
And this happened again and again. Luckily,
yeah.
recovered from that, you know, and somebody was always there to pull me back and say, no, there's somebody coming. Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, as we talked about the first time I was on your show, I ended up in the middle of an experience with a woman who was channeling another group soul that said they were the Elohim, that said they created the universe, and she was having tremendous negative attacks during the period of that. And I observed this, and I was trying to learn what's going on. So what I'm telling you is my kind of reverse engineering of the process. There's no way to be sure I'm right, but that's what I think goes on. And, of course, in the Carla's sessions, Don Elkins asked many questions about what's going on with the entity, what's happening. And they would tell her, you're being attacked by an Orion Crusader in the fifth dimension, and they don't want this to come out. And that was the information level that was coming through about her attacks.
Well, let's switch over to what the raw material is saying. I mean, what are we in, and what are we going through? Last week, I don't know if you guys felt this, but I felt like last week went by in about 24 hours. Time is definitely changing. I don't think it's my imagination. I think it's, we had a meditation group last night, and everybody experienced the same thing last week. What's going on with time?
Time is changing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, no kidding.
There is a, you know, the interesting thing from my perspective, keep in mind that I tend to be skeptical. The first time I got exposed to these ideas is when I was studying David Wilcock. And then I started studying Carla Ruckert, and it was the same ideas. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years into this, I had a woman in my life who spontaneously started channeling, and this voice said to ask them questions, and I was asking them questions about all this stuff I was learning because I wasn't sure I believed it. It sounds like science fiction. And she was giving exactly the same answers as the Wilcock material and the Ruckert material. That's three sources. And I said, geez, maybe this is really what's going on. And at this point, I'm sure of it. And right now, I said this is impacting everybody. Carla, do you want to explain what's going on according to the raw material?
Well, what's going on according to the raw material is that we have indeed shifted time-space or space-time or both at the winter solstice last year, as was so ballyhooed. Not that there was, a UFO going to swoop down and we were going to be the ones handing out coffee and milk or tea, but that, those of us who've been studying it for a while could say, oh, by the way, something big is going to happen here. Take a look. It's not happening to us. It's happening to the planet. And it's happening.
Exactly.
We've rotated into a new place in space where we're getting new subatomic particles. And we've heard about those for the last 30 years, and there are more and more and more of them. And people are busy studying them and trying to figure out what they are. Well, they are evidences to us with our third density, as the Ra would call it, eyes, of fourth density light. The light has changed, which means that space-time itself has changed. Everything has changed. There's a lot more information coming through now. Every time we get light, we get more information. There's more. It's more dense with information than the light itself. So that if you think that you're having a harder time than usual, it very well could be because when you ask, tell me the truth about myself, to spirit, you're getting information that will tell you more about yourself, including your dark side. And people don't want to hear about their dark side. So people think, well, this is really a tough time. But actually, if you use that information, if you take a good straight look at what you're getting, and instead of shying away from, okay, you've got an aspect of yourself here that is quite dark, you simply decide, oh, I'm going to bring that into the light. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to give it a new plan. I'm going to ask it to join me in my light work. And you can assimilate and integrate the dark side and not run away from it, but find yourself to be more and more balanced because you're aware of your dark side. You're aware of the choices that you're making not to use the dark side, except to give you that grit and muscle that will give you patience and stamina and determination. So yeah, there's definitely a change in time. It has a tendency to telescope, and the more we focus on something, the more it telescopes for us. So, you know, if you want to make time go slower, move back from working on anything and just, you know, do the equivalent of sitting on a white sand beach and sipping, you know, those little cocktails with the hats, little, you know, parasols, and, you know, do that with your mind, and you'll slow it down. But you have the capacity at this time to make a huge change in your ability to evolve in spirit. And that is so exciting because, you know, that's what we're wanting to do, is to develop our spirits and to develop our ability to work in consciousness. And we have the capacity now to do that simply by choosing to do that every single time that a choice point comes up. I choose the light. I choose to work with this. I choose to ask for information from spirit, you know, and stand firm and do this thing. And every time you do that, you become a more powerful person in terms of your mind, and you become more able to penetrate the illusions of what's happening and see the essence of what's happening in your life, so that you're much more capable of withstanding the emotional ebbs and tides that we all have. And living through that aspect and staying, holding fast with working for the light, so that you don't get knocked off course all the time by your own emotional ups and downs.
What I'm seeing in my life is the ability to create very quickly. And so the problems that I've had for a long time now are rapidly being solved with really interesting. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm doing it, but it seems like the universe is doing it.
You're just so much more capable, yeah.
It's weird. It's like things are rapidly resolving themselves. Complex puzzles are rapidly, you know, things are happening that I'm not making happen, but are happening in my universe in order to solve problems that it's almost miraculous, you know. It's like there's all these little miracles happening everywhere that are there's a pattern to straightening out things that were unjust or were stuck, you know, energy patterns that were just stuck, and it's interesting. It's almost like we can get everything straightened out now.
We certainly can, and like I said, it's a matter of being tough-minded enough to keep looking at the problem and not shy away from the information that you're getting that shows you not only the good side of the difficulty that you're facing, but also the dark side that you happen to be bringing to it, or that someone else happens to be bringing to it, that could knock you off course by your being repulsed, repelled, or disgusted.
Or fear it somehow, yeah. Yeah,
so,
you can't let fear. Whenever you start to begin to have the negative emotions come in, you have to look at them and usually release something from a previous life. I find that when that stuff comes up in me, it's often coming from a previous life to be released, but something in my current life is triggering it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true. Go ahead, Wynn.
The way that I've learned to look at it, and this is kind of based on stuff I've learned from the raw material, the whole universe is one being. Just like your body has billions of cells that make you up, the universe has billions of souls that make it up. And it's all part of the same one energy. And the Ra group refers to this as the law of one. And mm-hmm. that time is an illusion that was created so that life could experience itself. Ultimately, there's no such thing as time. There's no such thing as a past life. There's no such thing as yesterday. There's only the here and now.
Everything's happening all at once. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It just would be overwhelming.
The problem is when you're in a body on Earth, one of the things about being a human is to be separated from this principle. In the higher realms, the beings all know that they're part of each other. And on Earth, because of possessions, probably one of the main reasons, because of possessions, there was competition. Either I own it or you own it. And because of the competition, people started to lose the perception that they were part of each other. And the goal of these higher intelligences is to help us regain that perception. In order to regain the perception, you have to expand into a higher hologram of yourself, to the place where things are one. See, it all exists simultaneously. The fact that you're experiencing yourself in a contracted way is only an illusion. But it's a very pervasive illusion. And if you can start to rise above that illusion, you can start to see other people as part of yourself. And when that happens, compassion is a natural result. Because if other people are actually you, if you see yourself in them, suddenly you can't help but have compassion. And prior to that, they look like you judge them, they're irritating, they want something from you. And so we're in this period of shift. One way of looking at it is that up till now, in thousands of years, you're driving a car that's a four-cylinder car. And you're trying to get from here to there, and you can only go at a certain speed. But because this energy has increased so much, it's like you're driving a 24-cylinder car, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And what your job is to learn how to put your foot on the gas so that you utilize the moment. That's why you can clear patterns of past lives and past karmic things faster now than at any time in human history. But it won't clear automatically. You've got to put your foot on the gas and press it. And what that looks like is starting to create an intention, a very strong intention in yourself that says, I want to do this. I want to access this, because intention is the gas pedal. That's what starts putting you together with the energy and the higher dimensions. And if you don't do that, nothing will change. You'll still just go on and thinking, I'm stuck, and you'll get afraid even. So this is a rare opportunity for anyone to have a quantum leap in their evolution if they can learn how to apply their intention to access this energy. And one of the things both Carla and I do is we have a constant ongoing support system that helps people tune into that. I do it through conference calls. I have a bunch of free things on my website. Carla actually has been joining in my conference calls. She has all thousands of sessions on her website. And one of the things about reading the energy, reading this information that comes in from higher dimensions, is that the information is, I could use the word encoded. I can say that as you read the material, you access the vibrations of the sources. And by accessing the vibration of the sources, you start to learn not only to have the wisdom, but the energetic connection to accelerate your own evolution. Does that make sense, Susan?
Yeah, it does. Well, anything that you you start to study or immerse yourself in, if you immerse yourself in, say, you know, rap music versus classical music, you do start to take on the vibration of the music, and it starts to, through biophysics, affect your physicality. I mean, they've done studies in surgery. If you play rap music in surgery, the patient doesn't do as well as if you play classical. So energy, I mean, what are we? I was just at a conference this morning on biophysics. We are the effect of light and sound. I mean, light and sound is what affects matter. So if you are in a thought relationship, studying material or listening to channeling or even talking to other people about it, whatever you turn your attention to, that is what affects you. That's why you should keep good company and not, you know, associate it with people who are negative. You know, that's why you should, you know, read good literature, listen to good music. You know, you want to elevate yourself vibrationally, not you know, lower yourself vibrationally. If you hang around with really, you know, unethical criminal element, what do you think is going to happen in your life? I mean, it's logical. Whereas if you hang around with a lot of people studying and also channeling and giving, trying to elevate their understanding of where we are, that's what will happen. Your vibration will elevate.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's like if this material comes from the highest sources in the universe, both Carla's and mine, which I believe it does, and you start studying it, you start tuning into those energies, and you can't do better than that. You know, that's the importance of it.
Yeah.
You know,
and if it was if it was behind Edgar Cayce, it was some of the most important prophecy material ever given.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, it just was.
You know, I want to take a moment and give all our websites. Is that okay, Susan?
Yes, please do.
You know, there's loads of material on these websites. You don't have to spend any money that Carla and I put up for free. And, you know, we're both separate because she has her individual manifestation. I have mine. But we have found that we work really well as a team. She's been a guest on my conference calls numerous times. Carla's website is, get your pencils out, llresearch.org. llresearch.org. And my website is intelligent-infinity.com. Intelligent-infinity.com. And Carla and I have been doing a series of monthly workshops where I call it the Law of One Made Simple, where we've been going through the raw material, starting at the beginning, reading it, and then explaining what it means and trying to turn it into simple human terms. And we've had great response from people who have been participating. And that's one of the things that we ask for a donation. You can donate as little as $5 and get 12 hours of our sessions. And the website for that is the CarlaWynnCoalition.com. So I have observed, and Carla has observed over years, that people that are paying attention to this material, this kind of material, are going through some of the changes that they always wished, where they felt stuck. It just starts to lift. It's kind of like my sources, which are different than Carla's, say it's like spraying WD-40 on your matrix. It's like loosens things up. They talk about, my source terminology is stuck geometries, because each of us, we don't know this, but each of us is connected to higher dimensions. And there's all these geometrical frequency relationships that go from your human embodiment to higher dimensions. And in most cases, it's cut off at a certain level. And there's a veil around the earth. And it's not easy to get through that sense. And one of the ways to do it is to eat up this material, because this material is on the other side of the fence, and it starts like, it's like throwing yourself a life preserver from outside this dimension, and it starts to expand your matrix over time. But you have to, it's not like, you know, it's not an instant fix. You have to have some dedication to it. But I've watched it work for the people that are paying attention to these materials. And it's a rare, I would say, it is a rare opportunity to have this available to you. You can go through many, many lifetimes and never find something like this. So I like to really underline to your listeners to take advantage of this and check it out and see if it works for them. It may not, but if it does, many people are saying this is what we've always looked for.
Hey, Wynn, can you give the listeners just an example of what might be useful to somebody, or something you found to be useful to, you know, several people that have told you in feedback? What sort of thing?
Well,
give an example.
You know,
here's one. Want me to try, Wynn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's one that helps me and that many people have said have helped them. They were talking about how can you get the law of one better. And they said, well, there are several things you can do. There are exercises you can do. First exercise, there's love in this moment. Your exercise is to find it. Simple as that. Exercise two, look in someone else's eyes and see the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise three, look in the mirror, see the Creator. And exercise four, look about you at the creation, see the Creator. So the first one is actually the most helpful. Where's the love in this moment? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I've found I don't see love in this moment, and I am going to have to pump it up.
I'm going to
have to find it in myself and donate it free of charge to the interaction that's going on.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a story. I was interviewing Wayne Dyer on my TV show, and Wayne at the time drove his five kids to school every morning, and he said that, you know, the kids would be fighting and there'd be all this chaos and he'd be trying to drive, and he had a thing from The Course in Miracles on his dash, and it said, I could have peace instead of this. So that's, you can also find the peace in the moment or the love in the moment.
Yeah,
it's a good exercise, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it cuts through everything, lets you do your work.
It does.
I would just add to that, that from my experience, you know, people look for a quick fix. And they look for, just do this and everything will change. And my experience is that change for most people is gradual. Sometimes people have an epiphany, and the epiphany becomes a high point. But they still have to integrate the epiphany and make it normal and regular. What I learned was that these group souls are not just voices that are intelligent to speak to us. They are that, but they're more than that. And the amazing thing I learned was they could actually energetically connect with a human. The first time I learned this was when I was giving a talk in San Diego in 2004 when my book came out. And as I was talking, I could see all this amazing light dancing around the room. And then people were leaving the room, and they rushed to buy books. And my friend Terry was selling books. And they were saying, I could see auras in the room. I never saw auras. I could see energy. I could see light. That must be what people are talking about. So later, I did a channeling session, and I said, could you explain what that light was in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And oh my God, that blew my mind, okay?
Yeah.
Because up to that point, it was just information and amazing information. But suddenly, there was something happening that not only did I see it, but the people in the room could see it. And then every time I gave a talk, that would happen. And then I asked them, I said, I think this is a really valuable thing. And I said, if I did this on a conference call, could you put that energy out on the conference call? And they said they could. So I started an experiment doing conference calls, which we're still doing. We have hundreds of people tuning in. And what's happening on those calls is that people all over the world are feeling this energy. And I get emails like, I could feel my heart open up. I had a miracle the next day. I had a synchronicity. And so one of the most powerful things you can do is find something that not just gives you information, but holds the frequency of these higher dimensions. And if you can feel that frequency, it becomes a reference point, and you can keep doing it, and eventually you start to assimilate it. It becomes part of your life. I know that works. I've watched it for loads and loads of people connecting to my conference calls. And Carla is on many of my calls. We, you know, for a long time we operated completely separately, but we were friends. But she's been coming into my Sunday calls, and I know she feels the energy. And, you know, it's my contention that energy that comes in is probably not so different from what people felt at the beginning of various religions, because the people that feel it won't go away. They keep coming back, and then they're not following anything. We don't charge for it. It's just that it's very hard to get over your own patterns by yourself.
It's
not
much easier in a group.
Hard.
There's no question.
The group
it's much easier
really
in a group.
Yeah. But it's not just a group. It's a group with these group souls energetically paying attention to you, okay?
That's right.
And in fact, in my case, they're talking to people at some point in the call. We don't emphasize they're talking. In other words, we have three calls on BBS a week. And you know, if you listen to the calls, you'll find that we talk about things, we BS, everyone talks about, I talk about stuff, and then we have an issue, and then my friend Terry comes in, and they'll start addressing everybody, and then I get emails from people like, we saw lights in the room, I can't believe this, the next day I had a synchronicity. So people are learning how to tune into these dimensions and getting ongoing support, because everybody in this realm, everybody has spent lifetimes contracting themselves. We have these templates, these patterns that we have brought into our system, and it's not easy to turn a switch and have them all go away. You need reinforcement over time to make it happen. And then when it happens, you start to get it. That's been my experience.
Yeah, you can also use the energies that are around to help us. Like, say if you're in a group of people, like a big area, like hundreds of people, and you know you need to connect with somebody but you don't know who, you can always ask the lights to go around the person you need to talk to. And then one person will light up, and you can go over and talk to them real quick, and then you can meet who you're supposed to meet, and then you get out of there. It's, like, really efficient.
I just had one of those experiences 2 days ago. I went to the National Association of Broadcasters in Las Vegas. And I went there because a friend of mine had a booth, and I have this potential movie project. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'll have a synchronicity and I'll meet someone. And at the very end, it was all over, and I was sitting at the Starbucks there, and this guy walks by me, 100,000 people, This is a guy that I knew 4 years ago, and we had a really big falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and we were both in the energy of the moment, and we couldn't possibly refer to the falling out that we had because there was all mm-hmm. this energy connecting us. So he said it was like definitely a synchronicity for me to meet him. And he sat down, and we kind of cleared this issue that happened 4 years ago
mm-hmm.
and left in a really loving space. And
now that's an example of what I was talking about. All of this tangled stuff that you thought you could never get right is untangling.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And part of it is like miraculous, like how in the hell did you guys both end up at the same Starbucks? You see, that's the beauty of it. That's the miracle. But,
right.
but you know, I think that well, we were in session last night, and a higher dimensional group was talking to us, and they were saying that we are entering something called Evernow. Have you ever heard of that? Evernow?
No.
You know, like groups make up their own names.
Yeah, Evernow.
I mean,
Evernow is like all of the time space continuums merging.
Mm-hmm.
But what that is, according to Ross speak, shall we say,
uh-huh.
is that you're looking at it from a metaphysical point of view instead of a physical point of view. And
mm-hmm.
physical is space-time, where space is
right.
real and everything looks real. And
right.
time-space instead of space-time is metaphysical. And what happens there is spiritual or metaphysical. And it's you can't see it in the physical, but it's more real, actually, than the physical illusion. Because, for instance,
mm-hmm.
your body has the part of the body that came into the physical illusion and enjoys space-time. But when you die, it simply leaves the body and goes back into time-space for its next
mm-hmm.
assignment. And so that's the that's what they were talking about with the Evernow, because in time-space, all time is one. It's a
mm.
it's a global concept of time where everything is occurring simultaneously.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's Evernow.
Yeah, that's Evernow. And
so Evernow, we're going into it. So do you think time-space and space-time are actually merging?
No, it's not that they're merging. It's that fourth density, which the planet is in now, is in time-space. And
mm-hmm.
even though our feet are third density, we're walking the third density Earth, it's interpenetrating with the time, space, fourth density Earth, which is in every.
That's why I think they're merging.
So
they're coming together.
You know what? There is a blending of energies, but that does
yeah.
not mean a human can access that blending. A human positions
uh-huh.
themselves in the matrix by their thoughts,
uh-huh.
their attitudes, and their connections. And their past
right.
habits. Some people who are more sensitive immediately tune into it. Other people
mm-hmm.
have to work at it to
mm-hmm.
tune into it. So you could say that there's a potential here, but each person is creating a reality system unto themselves. And if their reality system doesn't include that potential, they won't get it. In fact,
right.
according to the raw material, there's going to be a division of souls that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that can get that, and I'm oversimplifying this, but those people that can get that, when they die,
mm-hmm.
they will move into their future selves at a higher rate. And those people
mm-hmm.
that don't get it have to repeat this realm for
right.
a long time. They get moved to another planet, in another star system,
mm-hmm.
to repeat the lower levels of timelines. And
right.
so, this is not. There's a. If you believe that's true, there's a very strong incentive to get it, because
mm-hmm.
if you think that when you die you continue, and that you're creating the options of how you continue, based on how you conducted your life and what you accessed in your life, and supposedly the human condition is the fastest way to evolve yourself. Even
mm-hmm.
though this realm can be difficult, it's the fastest way to evolve your soul so that you can continue in future lifetimes in a different sets of possibilities. So
right.
That's a repetitive theme of both the raw material, the Wilcox material, and my material.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. I wanted to get your contact information out there one more time, and then I wanted to invite both of you back again, because obviously we've just begun to scratch the surface here. We got a lot more to talk about. So give your contact information.
Okay, contact information. Carla's website is llresearch.org, and she also has a community she's building, and that's, is that bringforth.org, Carla?
That's bringforth.org, bringforth.org.
Right.
And that's
and my website is intelligent-infinity.com, and if you go there, the first thing you'll see is this opportunity to download a free book called The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You, where it tells the story of how a voice started talking to me through a personal relationship that identified itself as the Elohim and just told me to ask some questions. And I asked, how does prayer work? Elohim is the word for God in the Old Testament and the Book of Mormon. And they said they were the same. Again, everyone has to draw their own conclusions and decide if this is a positive source and if they trust it. On Carla's website, llresearch.org, she has thousands of sessions, channeling sessions, posted there, and free books for downloading. And then we have this series of workshops that's ongoing. We're doing them once a month, where Carla and I call the Law of One Made Simple, where we interpret the raw material. And that is Carla Wynn Coalition, one, no spaces, no dashes, CarlaWynnCoalition.com. And that has a donation, it's a flexible donation between $5 and $25. If you want to support our work and you connect with it, give more. If you're curious, just spend $5. You'll get 12 hours of audios of our conversations. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to these things, it creates, for many people, epiphanies of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wynn, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to give one more.
Well, yes, please do it quickly, though, because we've got to wrap up.
Lawofone.info, and that will give you a way to search the Law of One information very easily.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Great. Well, I do want to invite both of you back on, but we do need to wrap up. They've got to get their next show in. Next week on Temple of Health Radio Show, Dr. Joseph Mercola will be talking about strategies for eating healthy and weight control. And we've been interviewing Carla and Wynn Free on the raw material. Fascinating, great information for spiritual development. Very important in this particular time. Please take advantage of it. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.